the Lowrider.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are starting off this half hour with our good friend and sometimes guest host, Mr. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, everybody.
So how did it go? Well, you were had to do 3 hours of radio. It's a new
3 hours of live radio is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Jane helped me through it.
But, he was great. You know. Dan was great.
Did Dan cover one of the days I was supposed to be here? Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm feeling better. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is a good time to announce that I have to let Phil know and Joe Specky know, but everyone, I'm treating you all to dinner. So the challenge will be finding a day that works for everyone, but doing a big group dinner to say thank you for everyone who covered for me, which includes Mr. Dan Schaefer, who did 2 days. So, expanding your skill set.
That's right. Getting those reps.
Yes, exactly.
Getting some reps on the radio. You know, I did a couple TV reps earlier this fall, too. Just trying to get a little experience doing this whole media thing where I'm not just behind a computer typing all day.
There are no lanes anymore. Someone else said the other day, you're like, newspapers are trying to do podcasts and radio stations are trying to be TV shows and TV shows are trying to be newspapers. And so no one has a lane anymore and we all have to do every medium.
Yeah. I will be becoming a chef later this week. Yes.
I feel like you'd be good at that.
Oh, I'm great at eating.
You'd look great in that hat.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we wanted to talk a little. We talked about this yesterday when the news broke, but I know, I think you tweeted and have been tweeting the very, very.
I rarely tweet.
That's a whole other topic we could talk about is how much you were potentially worried that Twitter would not be there that Monday when people said there's no one left to work at Twitter. You're like, what am I gonna do? But Judge Darrow, who was the judge in the Daryl Brooks case, is announcing, like, potentially right now while we're on air, I don't know what time it's scheduled, that she is joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that the primary will be in February, the general will be in April. It is incredibly, incredibly important. And basically, I would love to hear your thoughts, because my initial reaction to this was, prior to her announcing that she was going to run, there was one conservative candidate who is a former Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Jan Kelly, who was pretty handedly beaten in 2020. He's running again, and two, I don't know if you want to say liberal, center left, backed by more
liberal.
Just
for lack of a better.
Yes, and one who's a Dane County court judge, and one who's a Milwaukee County judge. And my gut instinct on this was, for the primary at least, it forces more conservatives. That vote will be split potentially.
Mm-hmm.
For the long term, looking into the general, does having someone like Judge Darrow, who is, we know the power of name recognition, right? No matter what the race is, the big challenge for most elections is, do enough people know who you are to have any kind of insight on whether or not they're going to vote for you? And so she obviously has made a huge name for herself. That was a very high profile case. And so what were your gut reactions yesterday when her husband broke it that she was going to announce today, as far as what that changes going into next year?
Yeah. Again, first, I just want to say you cannot overstate the importance of this race. This will determine the majority in the court. This will be, this is a 10-year term that will determine the majority of the court. It is the liberals' best chance to win a majority, really, at any time in recent memory or, looking ahead through the rest of the 2020s. A liberal justice, Ann Walsh Bradley, is up in 2025, and then conservative Rebecca Bradley is up in 2026. So this 2023 election is really the best chance that liberals have to gain a majority on the court. This is important, I think, chiefly because it would open up challenges to the state's ridiculously gerrymandered maps. And the maps have been Republicans' skeleton key to wielding power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections they lose. And so The maps is the Republicans' key to holding power in Wisconsin, and the court is the key to those maps. So I think that is why, that is the main reason I see as why this election is so incredibly important, because the maps are so foundational to the accountability that we are unable to deliver to the Wisconsin state legislature. And that is foundational to every issue from, you know, that comes before the court or comes before the legislature, be it from abortion and gun rights and taxes and public safety and local funding and on down the list. It all comes back to the maps. So I think it's important to emphasize why that is particularly important. And then, so getting into the primary, you know, I think this is a, you know, I think Jennifer Doerr is going to have a ton of name recognition, mm-hmm. more so than any other, you know, candidate in this type of race would typically have. And I think Daniel Kelly, who lost, like you said, lost big in 2020, was never elected to mm-hmm. the state Supreme Court, was a Walker appointee. So he, you know, in the one election that he was in, he lost pretty badly. And I think he is the type of candidate who did poorly for Republicans in the most recent midterms, like the type of far-right, very Trumpy, election denier adjacent type of
Michael Gableman type, maybe.
Yeah,
Michael, maybe a little bit of the Michael Gableman type. I you don't think he's going to get into this?
No, no. I mean, oh God,
no. No.
Who knows? Nothing ever surprising anymore.
Daniel Kelly was also wildly underqualified for that job. The fact that he was appointed that job in the first place was ridiculous.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recompopulation area, talking about the consequence or what does it mean that Judge Darrow is joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court case or race. Sorry. So do you think this is, I guess if we're splitting it, if even though this is a nonpartisan race, and it should be a nonpartisan race, specifically with judges who are supposed to be objective and look at the law and not apply their ideology, but that's not the world that we live in, so let's talk about it in real terms, which is there are two now conservative candidates, and there's two liberal-backed candidates. So what do you think this means for the primary as far as who could get through?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it kind of remains to be seen how things are going to shake out on the liberal side of things. But I think, I think among the conservatives, a couple conservatives like Rebecca Bradley came out and endorsed mm-hmm. Daniel Kelly before Doerr jumped into the race here. But I think on the left, we have kind of emphasized the importance of this race for quite a while. You know, I think our friends at Block have been saying this is kind of a two-part midterm, saying this is the governor's race and everything that was on the ballot this fall is one part of it, and the state Supreme Court race in the spring is the second part of it. And so I think everybody on the left recognizes the importance of this race. And I think Doerr jumping in is a recognition that conservatives were kind of stuck with a bad candidate. And they had this opportunity with the judge who just got a ton of name recognition, just became this like TV news darling with the Brooks case over the last couple months and with how she handled it and everything like that. So I think that and she's a Walker appointee whose term is ending in the relatively near future, you know, so. So I think, you know, I think she's going to be a strong candidate in that primary. And I think, you know, considering what just happened for Republicans, I think maybe they drift away from mm-hmm. the Daniel Kellys of the world. But you never know. I mean, Trump could jump into the race and endorse Kelly, and that could make a huge difference too.
Because he endorsed him in 2020.
Right. So, I think it remains to be seen how this is going to shake out. You know, we're already seeing a little bit of the Oppo files come out on. I just saw Daniel Weiss published a story on Doerr.
Oh, really? What did it say?
Earlier this morning, the headline was Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Doerr has been critical of the cash bail system. So an article about how she had comments in the past talking about how, quote, there is a huge body of evidence about whether or not cash bail is keeping communities safe. So that's going to be an interesting
one. But here's the thing that I think is so interesting.
Dynamic for the race, too.
Because is there a chance that she is not, because she is not part of the donor-backed backdoor world of GOP politics, liberal politics, you know, the people who are trying to pull the strings without being in front of in front of everyone. That she is there a chance it'd be hers kind of because she's just had such a meteoric rise, that she isn't in the camps of this is the agenda we are trying to get through politically in Wisconsin versus, because I would say that that is the right correct, like that is the right position to hold as far as what everything I understand about cash bail and it not really working, because the only purpose of it is to get people to come back to court. And there is a ton of evidence that shows that that is not what it actually does. This is not a means to just keep people locked up before they actually get a trial. And so right. If she is someone who, like, in my opinion, that is actually a reason I would vote for her, right? Is hearing right. that opposition. But apparently you consider that oppo, or people would consider that oppo, because that is not the position of a lot of conservatives.
It'll be interesting.
Well, they just spent tens of millions of yes. dollars attacking Mandel Barnes for months on this exact issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just always striking to me. It's just like, hey, this is a system that failed. We should reform it. And then the response to that is, this is the worst thing we've ever heard. You know? So, yeah, I don't know. But I just think, you know, she went to law school at an evangelical Christian law school. She has been kind of part of that Waukesha County political universe for a little while, from what I understand. So I don't know. I think it's, you know, we're obviously at the very, very early stages. Everyone's going to know her from the Brooks trial. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a huge factor. So
go ahead, Greg.
I just think we'll know where she stands in a week's time when she makes the announcement. She's asked questions on her past statements, and we'll know where we're at. I mean, I think in today's day and age, you can't stand to be independent. It won't get you anywhere. Hmm. So if she says, like, you know, the work she did in the Brooks case, she's proud of the work she did in the Brooks case, and people, you know, I read Twitter the day that those sentences came down. People were very happy about it on one side. And then if she talks about cash bail and she says, like, I think cash bail should be looked at and examined, that's going to be a hard line for her to walk, that independent line, because she won't be whose vote will she honestly mm-hmm. get?
Well, it's also so interesting, and this is part of the, I have to figure out how to communicate this, whether it's through TikTok videos or on the radio station, but also decide, you know, because probably if the last election we just had is any indicator of what the talking points and messaging is going to be going into this election, it's going to be soft on crime and their record. But a reminder that there was people who's the justices who sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court do not decide who goes to jail.
Yeah.
They hear cases that are interpreting our state constitution, and it has nothing to do with putting people away. And so I don't how you communicate that to motivate people to not only just vote, but also know what is the roles and responsibilities of the people who sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and how to look at their background and their history, and how that works into their actual job. It is not like she or any of them would not be hearing ever the Daryl Brooks case.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really important for those of us in the media to do our best to talk about what this job actually is.
Yeah.
Because attack ads are going to go where attack ads go. And we know how that shapes up.
We all are so ready to have it back. Yeah. All right. Well, we got to take a break. But Dan Schaefer from the Recompopulation Area will still be here when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Tacos Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, our guest. Wow. Our guest co-host every Wednesday is Greg Bach. Our guest for this half hour is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, which is a weekly column. You should subscribe to it. You should pay to subscribe to it. It is excellent. So what'd you write about this week?
Quickly on that note, today is the last day of our Thanksgiving week sale.
Oh, what is the sale?
So we have 30% off for a full year subscription. I ran it for the full week, so it would include Black Friday, whatever Saturday, whatever Sunday,
Small Business Saturday,
all of the things. So today is the last day of the sale. You can get a full year subscription for just $35. So that's what we got.
There you go. Good plug. But what'd you write about this week?
So after all of the election business that I had been writing about for the past few weeks, I needed kind of a palate cleanser, you know, to just write about. So I wrote about the Bucks. I had to write about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Fair.
And
how are they doing?
They're doing great.
It seems like the games I've been able to catch, it seems like they're still rocking and rolling.
Yeah, they continue to be great. They have the best player in the league, and they have the second best record in the league right now, even though Chris Middleton has not yet played a game. So
he's still out.
I think he's coming back soon.
Okay.
The Bucks are real weird about giving any injury details to the beat reporters. So when I follow the comments from like my friend Eric Name at The Athletic, he'll tweet out that Mike Budenholzer has not given him an update on anything, which is what they basically do. I think he's coming back soon. But basically what I wrote about with the Bucks and with Giannis is about how they're chasing history this season. I think this is kind of a quiet storyline for the Bucks this season. You know, they win the title in 2021. They're unable to repeat on the, you know, after the shortened off season and with Middleton's injury in last year's playoffs. But this year, you know, I think when you have a team that can win two titles in 3 years or win multiple titles as part of just kind of a larger run, I think that puts you in a different historical tier as a team. Compared to, you know, just kind of like a one-off title, like the Detroit Pistons won in 2004 and the Dallas Mavericks won in 2011. But that's a little bit different than, say, like the Lakers and the Heat and the Warriors and all of these kind of dynastic teams in the NBA. And I think the Bucks really have an opportunity this year to become one of those teams if they're able to climb the mountain yet again. You know, if they're able to win two titles in 3 years and basically be kind of the dominant team of the last five seasons, I think that puts them in kind of different historical rarefied air. And it also, with, you know, as it applies to Giannis as well, you know, we saw, you know, one of the things that I wrote about was the fact that, you know, he's already being ranked as one of the top 20 players of all time.
It's wild.
Which is crazy.
But is he 28?
He'll be 28 in a couple weeks, or next week. And, you know, he's already kind of reaching this pantheon of NBA greatness. And if he's able to win another title, if he's able to maybe even get another MVP, you know, that puts them in line to be one of the 10 greatest players to ever play the game. And I think this season is perhaps going to be their best chance to do it, you know, considering the age of guys like Brooke Lopez and Middleton and Holiday, who are all in their 30s. You know,
but isn't Brooke having like his best year? Isn't he just dominant this year?
Brooke has been unbelievable this year. He's leading the league in blocks per game. He's kind of regained his shooting stroke, get that Splash Mountain nickname back. Mm-hmm. But he's also 34 and missed most of last season with a pretty serious back injury.
Yeah.
So you never know. Like, this might be the best we get from Brooke going forward. And as great as he's been this year, I mean, you never know. So I just think this season is such an opportunity for the Bucks to stamp themselves as one of these great all-time historical teams.
There's something about sports, now that I'm in my second half of my 30s, of like, I'm still nice. Young. I still got it. And they're like, oh, he's so old. He's 34. I don't know. I don't know how many years he's gotten them.
I just got asked to be on a, like, an intramural soccer team. I was like, what are you even doing to yourselves? What kind of question is that?
No. I will not do that.
No, I'll be I'll take stats.
So then the other last question, I have not looked at mine yet. Have you looked at your Spotify Wrapped yet?
I don't do Spotify.
You do Pandora?
No.
Where do you listen to your music?
YouTube Music. Is it with you? I'm going to do a little
plug.
Is
that like a moral stance?
No, no. It's just, it's with when you subscribe to YouTube Premium, you get a free membership to YouTube Music. It's the same access to the same music. It's all great. Oh. So I don't.
All right. Well, then you're not in this conversation. Dan, have you done Spotify
for? Okay, fine. I'll just leave. Goodbye.
I did check out my Spotify Wrapped this morning, and I, of course, I share an account with my wife and my daughter. And so I went through, they give you the first, you know, your top five songs. All of my top five songs were from the Encanto soundtrack. So tell me you're a parent without telling me you're a parent.
I have been told that even if you're not a parent, that's like, as far as the world of kids music goes,
it's a great soundtrack.
Encanto versus Baby Shark. Encanto all the way, right? You're like, everyone's very pumped when that. They're like, I can handle this.
So, yeah, everything in my top 10 was from the Encanto soundtrack. So that my daughter loves the movie.
What's your favorite Encanto song?
It's got to be We Don't Talk About Bruno, yeah, right?
Okay.
The only other song in the top 10 that was not part of the Encanto soundtrack was this one Jason Isbell song called If We Were Vampires. And my wife and I will play that in the car whenever our youngest will not shut up. So it's just like the one song that gets her to calm down. And so the whole Spotify rap for me this year is not really a reflection of my own musical interest.
Sure, Dan. Way. Sure.
It's Encanto and getting my kid to shut up songs.
Can you sing that song? I don't think I'm not familiar with the what is it? The what vampire song?
Yeah, Dan,
it's a song. It's a really good song. It's called If We Were Vampires.
Can you sing it?
Sing it, Dan.
It's a really sweet song about death. And we play for our daughter.
You are talking my language, Dan. Baby.
Says the woman raised in a mortician. All right. Well, that was a very fun segment. Thanks for coming on, Dan. We'll probably have you back in a couple weeks like we usually do. Can't wait to read the Buck story. And then whatever you got next coming out next week. So subscribe today to the Recombobulation Area so you can take advantage of the sale. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good seeing everybody.
All right.
Bucks and six.
Bucks and six.
Bucks and six.
All right. Well, we are going to take the break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, restaurant etiquette. How long can you wait for your food before it is appropriate for you to just leave? You tell us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You see on the bubblegum cards, me and homeboy would go one on one, cause playing the game is a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all, cause current is blowing, it's rapping basketball.